Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is part two of Swanee and Friends, Dane Swan, Samantha Richards, and guest friend, me old radio cobber, and in some ways, part of the bastard father of this podcast, Sergio Paradise, aka Steve Marshall.
Hello, mate. Lovely to be with you, folks.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining.
The reason for bastard father is 20 years ago, January. It was just very, very, very amusing SEN show that started when SEN did on a Saturday morning.
That was 20 years ago, was it?
20 years ago, January. Right. Ralphie Surge and the Big Man.
So pioneering it was.
Surge, me and Scotty Cummings and every Saturday.
1999 Coleman medalist.
Yeah.
That's it. to give him his full title.
Give him his full title, which eventually became this podcast, eventually stopped becoming this podcast.
Excellent.
Did you run Surge out of Radio 2, did you? Did you get him kicked off?
Dane's convinced it was all my fault because I didn't stop him from doing Urban Dictionary.
Right, fair enough. Yeah. No, fair enough. No, they were fun days, the old Ralphie Surge and the Big Man.
100%. Could you get away with a bit more back then than you could on radio now? Or was it?
Yeah, we could because no one was listening. Could.
Yeah, okay.
The only people listening were the head of sales at SEN.
Okay.
So give us a whack every now and then.
They took that well. So have you met Samantha?
Never met Sam, no.
SEN's going strong, as we see.
They're getting a mention in the paper today.
Yes, apparently.
Everything old's new again.
Auditors and accountants have come looking for Hutchie.
Yeah, time is a flat circle.
But Sam straightened us up post Scotty Cummings.
Oh, okay.
It's a work in progress.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've certainly, between the three of us blokes, you have lifted the tone of the room already.
Which Sam, so that leads us to realise, so that Steve, aka Sergio Paradise, is here, why men can be so dumb, which...
I don't believe it, Steve. Serge, I don't.
I know it was one of those subjects that you think, you know, do I really want to go down this path?
Yeah.
And then I think, well, you know, the last 30 or 40 years, I've sort of, you know, lived with men, played footy with men, worked with men, known men, laughed with men, got drunk with men, and thought, we are pretty dumb.
Drank with men who are now women.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want the next one to be just why people can be so.
Although
I'm not convinced that women will cop me writing a book about.
Well, I was going to make my question. Dumb. Imagine if I wrote this book, Why Are Men So Dumb? Well, Why Men Can Be So Dumb?
Yeah.
But if that wasn't by Steve Marshall, it was by Samantha Richards. How do you reckon that would go?
Well, this day and age, fuck knows. Like, you could just say you're a man while writing it.
This is very true.
Well, exactly. I mean, there's a million examples of why we are. And there has been. And there will continue to be.
Mm.
And so I put most of it down to... the fault of Steve Jobs, because you know when he brought out the iPhone, you know it wasn't the first phone to put a camera in it, but it was the first one to make it easy for idiots to use. and within 10 minutes of the iPhone launch, blokes around the world were sending pictures of their dicks to everyone within a 10-meter radius, and the world has been banned ever since.
Yeah. Seen a lot more dicks though.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, we are living in like a golden era of genital photography.
Yes, exactly. Question, you
know?
Yeah.
Right. Like, I have a 2-year-old and he's just started to discover he's got a willy. My willy, right?
Can you take a photo of it yet?
No.
It's next day.
So, my point is obviously, you don't grow out of that. Oh, look what I've got.
Yeah.
Even though you've had it for 40 years, you still look down and go, oh, how good's this? I've got one of these. Maybe my friends want to see it.
Well, some look down and go, how bad's this?
So why do you?
Not everyone's blessed. Not everyone's happy with what they've got.
It's a work of art.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why do you think people?
Fuck! I'm lucky. I'm going to show everyone.
Why? No one wants to see that.
Well, that's I would say that's a lie. Some people want to see it.
Well, just an example of that sort of thing, and the stupidity that follows is in the book. Do you remember the now late kids American entertainer by the name of Pee Wee Herman?
Right. Oh, yes.
Well, Pee Wee he got caught having a good time with himself in a in a porno theatre in Miami.
If you're going to do it, that's the spot to do it.
Well, exactly. He was arrested.
Particularly if you're a celebrity.
Exactly. And the best way he thought of to get out of the charges was he offered to do a free show to the cops' kids.
What, a sex show or...?
No, just a free kids' entertainment show.
Did he do it?
No, he didn't do it. They said, turn around, Pee-wee, put your hands behind your back. That was the end of him.
What about if Steve, set your partner, sent you a dick pic during the day right now? Would you go, see, that's fucking disgusting? Or would you be like, hello?
I'd be like, are you fucking right? Who was that meant for? And we've got to talk because I don't want to see that shit.
I've known you all 5 minutes. I mean, some blokes would do it quicker than that.
Exactly. So what is the bonobo?
The bonobo gene. Well, right. Well, the reason for this book is during lockdown, when we were sort of, I had two teenage boys pretending to be studying at home, and I didn't realise how important the educational process that the PlayStation is.
So,
I mean, they did that, and I thought, look, I've always wanted to write a book, so I thought maybe a funny 30 years in the media book memoir kind of thing might work, and sort of did most of that. Gave it to the publisher, and he said, yeah, this is all right, but a proper memoir is not just a collection of, funny anecdotes. So he said, but I've always had this idea about a book about blokes who get into trouble because of their dicks. And I just said, you've come to the right guy. And then I thought, well, it's got to be a bit more than that. We're going to have to try and give this some vague credibility. So I discovered this animal called the bonobo, which is a breed of chimpanzee found only in the Congo in deep, darkest Africa. And the bonobo, it's obsessed with sex and violence. And ideally, both at the same time or one after another. Yeah. I mean, they're renowned, the bonobos, for having mad big sexual orgies together and then a punch on afterwards. It'd be like shaking hands at the end of a tennis match. Yeah. And also the bonobo shares 98.7% of its DNA with us men.
Right.
So I thought...
So I have been to a couple of parties like that. They're very similar.
So I thought maybe I could make some tenuous pseudo-scientific link between the bonobo gene and men's propensity for being idiots.
Yeah.
And,
it wasn't hard.
It wasn't a difficult leap, I've got to say. And it has no science behind it whatsoever, but it sort of gave me the link to start bringing things together, and we just took it from there.
Nice. Now, we first met doing a show called The Grill Team at Triple M in the early 90s. We had some hangers on who would get in the road. Who were they?
Hangers on, yeah. What's his name? Eddie McGuire.
Yep.
Jane Kennedy.
Yep.
Trevor Marmalade, Glenn Robbins.
All no good. Oh, none of them have kicked on, have they?
No, none of them have done any. And the one who, unfortunately, probably kicked on about as much as Ralphie and I is the funniest man in Australia, Darren Casey.
He's a hilarious man.
Who still does stuff on 3AW. But, it was the Grill Team back in, that was what, mid-90s?
94 was the first year. 94. I came through.
Jeez, you're good with your dates.
Yeah,
it's all just a blur to me.
Sam's picked my Asperger's. So you were—I came through a racing sponsored segment, Dane. But you came through because you were mates with the guy. So,
well, yeah.
How did Steve Marshall become Sergio Paradise?
Well, I was at one point. I was sharing a house with Trev Marmalade.
Yep.
And this was before the footy show, so Trev hadn't made that big celebrity step himself yet. So we were doing it when Eddie first moved out of Broadie. Into South Melbourne, the three of us, because we'd all used to socialise together, and quite often on a Monday night, the three of us would gather at the Red Eagle Hotel and have a steak and review the weekend. And one night, I sort of jokingly just said, geez, if we recorded this conversation, it'd make a pretty funny radio show.
Yeah.
And Eddie looked at me and goes, you know what Eddie's like? He just goes, we'll do that one day. And I promptly forgot about it. 2 years later, the phone rings, and Eddie goes, we've got a radio show starting Triple M. Me, Marmalade, Jane Kennedy. We want you to do TV showbiz bullshit, but everybody knows you work at Channel 9, so think of a stupid name for yourself, which I just pinched the name off a D-list cabaret singer from Melbourne. thinking this will last a month. You know, yeah. That was 94. It's yeah. still milking it. You know.
But so Ed moved into the area. I remember now we on part one we're talking about the David Beckham documentary and the perpetual cleanliness of David Beckham. Dane said probably not his go, but if he lived by himself, he probably wouldn't be as clean as he has to be.
Yeah.
How clean was your house with Trev, please?
Well, put it this way: we had a party one week, and we had it on a Sunday afternoon because all of Trev's comedian mates had gigs Saturday night. On the Monday morning, I had to go to work, and it was still rumbling along, and you have to say fairly well, the party. When I got home on the Monday night, apart from being up to your knees in empty stubbies and beer cans and full ashtrays and stuff like that, there also had to be two girls passed out on the couch who I'd never seen before, and two-thirds of the Doug Anthony All-Stars. And so that pretty much summed up. The house was not...
Did you have mushrooms going out of the bath at one stage?
We did at one stage. Trev's girlfriend at the time went for a shower, and Trev and I just heard her screaming. And, Jesus, what's wrong? So she must have hurt herself. So he's running in there, come out a minute later, just with tears rolling down his face. I said, what happened? He said... There were mushrooms growing in the grouting in the shower. She found it disgusting. I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah.
Magic ones, we'll eat them.
I'm glad he didn't make a beef Wellington.
From the 90s, so you worked at Sale of the Century?
Yeah, I produced Sale of the Century for a number of years.
So a huge quiz show at the time. Yes. I love the story about the contestant who just didn't think they were good enough. They got the guilt.
Oh, there were a few of those along the journey.
Did you send back something?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, because if you went on Sale of the Century, if you didn't win the episode, one of your consolation prize, you got a really nice, I think it was Longines watch. And once we had this guy, he didn't answer a single question for the whole show, right? And 3 weeks later, I get a little envelope on my desk. And he'd sent back his watch saying, I'm not worthy of it. Which I rang him up and I said, mate, it's just a watch. Keep it. Really. You got your head on telly. You know, you had fun. Doesn't matter. Not everyone's a winner on the great quiz show.
From the Bonobo, G, what's a particular fuckwit type of character we should look out for if we're not one ourselves?
Well, yeah, it's pretty much across the board. We've got everything in there. I've got a hall of shame.
Dane's gone straight to it.
That features NRL players and AFL players. Ooh. You're not in this.
Well, thank goodness.
Because I rang up Dermot Brereton and said, mate, can you give me a little quote that I could put in the front of the book? You know, pretend that you've read it. And he just said, am I in it? I said, no. Nah. And he goes, oh, good, there's your quote. So there is some of the great performances by NRL players.
Chapter titles.
Go on, what have you found?
The Teflon Dick, dicking all over the world.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods. gets his own chapter.
Or the Teflon Dick is for the blokes.
Size matters.
And we've all known them, blokes who can get away with murder in that situation. But then, as I say, get away with it. I had a guy who once was caught having sex with another girl by his girlfriend. And managed to convince her that he wasn't doing it.
He's probably the captain of the situation.
You are magnificent. I mean, what a sensational performance that was.
Yeah. Shaggy, it wasn't me. Yeah.
Could you, without naming the TV chef, one of my favourite stories of yours is the TV chef story.
Because I think
the statute of limitations is over.
I think statute of limitations, and the child involved is probably, driving by now. But,
hang on.
But, I once played golf with a fairly well-known TV chef. And he said to me, we just got talking. I didn't really know him that well, but he's a good bloke. He had two kids. He and his wife decided to go for number three. And they tried for months, probably close to a year, with no success. Finally, his wife pointed the finger at him and said, look, there's nothing wrong with me. It's you. Go and get yourself checked out. So he booked himself into the sort of male fertility clinic down there at Cabrini. He walked in there and a cute little girl behind the desk handed him a jar and says, we're going to need a sample. He said, oh, fair enough. Yeah, it makes sense. She said, just go into that little room in there and take your time. There's no rush.
Oh, no.
Just, you know, provide us with a sample. So he goes in there and he said to me, I always assumed in that sort of situation they provided you with a bit of, you know, appropriate reading matter just to, you know, facilitate the process.
And this is your pre-iPhone days, of course.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. You couldn't just scroll it up on your phone. I mean, yeah, these were hard cup.
Two girls, one cup just doesn't pop up on your phone. Fucking as simple as that, does it?
You can't put that magazine down in the doctor's area.
So he said he goes into the little room, nothing, not a thing in there to help him along the journey. And he said, but, you know, eventually he said, just using sort of imagination and muscle memory, he said, managed to get the job done. He said, until you've done it, then it's not easy catching it in the jar. but he said he finally got it, put the lid back on the jar, walked out and handed it triumphantly to the cute little receptionist who looked at him and said, urine sample, sir. We were after a urine sample. To which he replied, well, he could have told me in advance, but because he's a TV chef, it's lucky he didn't say, you know, well, here's one we prepared earlier. True story. I put that in the book, but I wasn't going to ring him and ask him if I could use it.
Quickly publish it.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you got sacked from Channel 9, because we all know we're getting sacked. But yours was unique. How was it broken to you and what happened there?
I can't even
I'm talking
remember.
About the footy show thing where the... You'd appear on the panel.
The footy show. At one stage, I wasn't full time on the footy show like Ralphie was. I just used to pop in once a week, and I used to produce Billy Brownless's wheel segment. And we used
actually
to,
you know, the big
more,
wheel.
Put a bit more meat on the bones there. So that was a bit of an act that Bill would get blind drunk before he'd go in there, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean yeah. You know, not at all. There was one time we were at some little absolute shithole outside Adelaide somewhere. Yeah. And Bill, we'd gone through the rehearsal. He'd gone off to have a steak and a couple of schooners, and we'll be back. We're on air at 10:10, Bill.
Yeah.
Be here at 10. Well, at 10, I'm on the phone to the control room at Channel 9 going, oh, where the fuck will we? he hasn't turned up. And at one stage, the exec producer's gone, Serge, you might have to do the cross. And I thought, the local footy club be happy with that. Yeah, exactly. Billy hasn't turned up. Anyway, he did. So we had a great time doing the wheel segment. Although every week they'd spin the wheel to see where we would go the next week.
Yeah.
And every week, Bill and I would say, doesn't Noosa have a footy team? isn't there the Byron Bay Sharks or somewhere, instead of some dump out in the middle of nowhere? But I was also at the time that year, appeared on the panel on Channel 10 with my old mate Jane Kennedy and the Working Dog guys. Again, just doing, pretending to be an entertainment reporter without knowing what I was doing. And I'd been on there, and I'd blown the whistle on there on the panel about a new show that Channel 9 were going to do, which one of the mates at Channel 9 had said, oh, he's a good one, you know, you got a scoop here. So I was called the following day by the head of entertainment at Channel 9 in Sydney saying, you're finished, that's it, you're out, you'll never do another thing, there's no more footy show for you, you're sacked immediately.
And pack up your desk.
And pack up your desk, which, of course, I didn't have one. and it was also the fourth round of the final. So there wasn't a lot of footy shows left to go anyway. So that was the end of my tenure.
What was the show you whistleblowed on?
I'm trying to remember what it was now. It was
Probably one of many that failed.
It was one, it was one of many that didn't really go on anyway.
But you worked on a few of the grand final footy shows with me, and one of them was trying to get the right talent for the end of the year, because one of my favourites I remember you worked on was Tribute to the 80s, and some of the guys that we managed to get back together was awesome.
Oh, that was, and we I think we recreated through the 80s sort of bits from every grand final and highlights of the year, including, you know, when Yatesy ran through Dermot Brereton, and at one stage, you know, we'd rehearsed this blindly for hours and hours over and over, and we got about 25, probably maybe more of some of the greatest footballers of all time up there. And they started mucking around. Oh, we have to do it again. Cook on one more time, fellas. I was remember standing in front of them. And then one of the blokes was mucking around up the back. I found myself going, Phil, will you just shut up and listen to me for a minute? I'm thinking, this is Phil Carman I'm talking to. You know, it's some of the greats. We had a ball doing that. Those footy show grand finals, the amount of people don't realise now, but the amount of work that went into some of those grand final shows was just astounding.
You danced on one, didn't you? I left. Where was it?
Who did you dance with, Sam?
Some of the Melbourne boys, Jeddah, Lyndon Dunn.
Yep.
All the big names.
Did Cape by the Ocean.
During our great era search.
Who was it? David Roden. I think Nick Rewalt was there as well. There was heaps of them. It was the one where the boys were retiring. Brent Harvey. There was four of them that were retiring.
That was part of the...
And that was the big thing,
So Gene Simmons just did the Kiss, did the grand final. You got a Gene Simmons chapter?
Well, I've worked on the Eric Banner show. You know, this was before Eric became a movie star. And I've got another good Eric story, but one of the things, I'm staggered I never took my camera this night, but remember Eric's Pointer character? He played the Aussie Bogan with the mullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got permission for Pointer to interview Kiss just before they went on stage. So we go down there, there's myself, the director, you know, camera crew and what have you, and Eric dressed up. We go down into the dressing rooms at Rod Laver Arena down in the bowels of the thing. There's the four blokes from Kiss. They're finishing putting their makeup on. I was surprised to see they do their own makeup still. I thought there would have been, you know, a chorus, you know, 50 makeup artists. They do their own. So they did that. And then Eric did the interview. It all went really well. Now, if you remember the guitarist Ace Frehley, he got sacked numerous times in the band for being an idiot, basically, and drinking too much. Well, at this point, we'd finished the interview. Gene Simmons goes, boys, you got what you need? Yep, thanks. They were very professional about the whole thing. And then the stage manager comes down. Come on, boys, ready to go. And we're standing there thinking, wow, what an experience this is. We hear the big booming. You know, you wanted the best. You got the best. Ladies and gentlemen, Kiss. And the stage manager goes, this way, boys. Straight out the door. They grab their guitars. They walk out the door. Three of them turn left to the stage. Ace Frehley turns right and goes down and walks into a black wall. And I've gone, did you see that? Ace has gone the wrong way. And the director's going to the camera, did you get that? Did you get that? He's an idiot. He is an idiot. And so that was our Kiss story. Well, I was still staggered. I never took a camera.
He's been one of the great success stories of Australia, hasn't he, Eric
Banner? Oh, Eric. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, and here's a story about how the media probably still works. After the Eric Banner show, a head journo at TV Week rang me up and said, oh, Steve, you know Eric Banner pretty well. And I said, yeah, just worked on his show. He's a great bloke. And said, we've heard that he's going to do a movie appearing as Chopper Reed. And I said, I've heard nothing about it. She said, oh, look, can you ring him, write the story, and we'll give you $5,000 for the story. And at that point, $5,000 was pretty bloody handy. So I ring Eric. Mate, I've heard this thing TV Week that you're going to be Chopper Reed and hopefully it'll be, you know, your big break as an actor. And he said, so I can't speak about it. I'm not going to mention it. I can't say yes, no. I'm just not saying anything about that. I said, fair enough. So I rang the TV Week, Jono back, and said, nah, no stories, not talking about it. She said, oh, but you spoke to him. I said, yeah, I rang him up. She said, oh, she said, just make up bullshit anyway. We'll still pay you the $5,000. And I thought, no, I can't do that. No, I'm not going to do that. So many years later, when Eric's a big movie star, I said, you owe me $5,000. You still owe me $5,000.
Because the incentive is to burn people, isn't it, in the media? But one of the great things is if you go through that stage, you actually get their trust.
Oh, exactly, exactly. I mean, Eric's, you know, he's such a talented actor and still one of the great blokes of Aussie showbiz, any showbiz, really.
No worries.
But, oh, they were great days, right?
And what was the, hang on, because Sam picked it out, and I just want to
There's a few, back if you look at, who chose all the chapter titles? Is that all your handwork?
Yeah, it's mainly mine.
The inner workings of your brain. There's so many funny ones. If you just looked at the contents page.
Does the anonymous displacement story get a run?
It does. It does. I'll tell a story. And involved, there were two blokes at my footy club, and for
this
many
is very
years,
bad.
There'd been some argument. Sam, I'm looking at you at the moment, as to these were the two best hung blokes at the footy club, right? And it just became a running joke.
Yeah.
One of them had this trick which he would do in the showers. He would soap it up and swing it around like, and we called it the helicopter.
Right.
And the soapy helicopter was even funnier. Yeah. You know? Then one night after training, and this is at a time where I don't know this for sure, but I reckon the footballers today, they're not quite as keen on getting nude in the showers with their teammates Absolutely. As we used to back in the day. And you've got to remember, Sam, this is AFL level. This is amateur level. One night after training, none other than the senior coach, a former AFL premiership player himself, said, once and rule, we're going to find out who's got the biggest dick?
Yeah.
You know, Stu or Doug, I've called them in the book. And he said, this is what we're going to do. So he gets one of those, those three-legged stools with the little round top?
Mm-hmm.
He draws goalposts on there. And he says, you're going to put your dick through the goalpost and we're going to measure the length. So, of course, they do that. And Stu wins by length. So he goes, okay.
Length?
Yeah. I can't remember the exact centimetre length, but Stu wins. And before they pack it up, the coach of the under-19s pipes up and goes, you know, that's not necessarily the best way to measure size. And he said, the best way to measure actual size of a three-dimensional object is liquid displacement. And at this point, this was when it became obvious that every footy club should have a physics teacher on their coaching staff, because he was head of physics at the fairly prestigious private school that this footy club is a part of. And so he said, then we have to do water displacement. So then they got an empty pot, filled it with water, and each player had to put their dicks in the water and they measured how much water was displaced again.
So you wouldn't even think of this as chicks.
See, this never, this yeah, this wouldn't happen at a netball club.
No, wow. Fucking May these days, yeah.
So as it turns out, Stu won on length, Doug won on displacement.
Okay.
So a draw was probably a fitting result.
Tiebreaker.
Doug had the girth.
Exactly,
yes.
Right.
Had more weight in it.
What the fuck? Your book is Why Men Can Be So Dumb, but that's actually quite an intelligent experiment that they were conducting. Yeah. Just the topic was a little bit
strange. The topic
is
a bit distasteful, but as I say, handy having a physics teacher
And
there.
Then eventually that leads, that type of thinking leads to Glenn Waverley Footy Club.
Yeah.
Which probably took it to a new level. That's
water displacement was in his mouth.
Does it matter who's got a bigger dick?
What's that?
Does size matter, Sam?
Well, it's one of the chapters in the book. I'll have to read it.
Does size matter?
I'm a spoken for woman that I shall not speak of penis sizes any longer.
Okay.
Do you think it does, Dane?
I would say so, yeah. You wouldn't want to have a micro penis. Have you seen that?
Oh, no.
Dane has previously said he could pick his teammates in the light up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most of them you could, you know.
I spend more time looking at their dicks than I look at my own in the shower.
I don't get it. Like, it's like a bit of exhibition. I used to work at a footy club, West Perth Footy Club, when I was back at uni as one of the trainers. And as long as I was, like, in my room behind the door, I couldn't see anything. But the amount of them just walked around like, oh, how are you?
Yeah.
Like, can you not? You haven't got a towel on. I don't want to see that shit.
Don't work in a footy club. You don't want to see your dick.
Well, you don't need to say hello. As you're walking past.
Well, what did I say? Ignore you.
Yes, just walk past.
That's not very friendly, is it?
Still visible.
Are you saying footy players don't just nude up and shower together like used to be?
I don't know.
Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah,
Is that fair?
Why is that?
I'd say that's fair. I don't know. The world, because kids have off the Reds.
I noticed my son's school team. I mean, you know, back in the day when I played at that school, you know, after the game, you know, everyone shower up and you laugh and carry
tell stories,
on.
Yeah.
And
you weren't a new player unless someone
urinated
on
your leg. Exactly.
What? They all seem to keep their trousers on.
Exactly. It's weird. Like, you can't
keep the speedos on.
You can't yell at anyone. You can't go, mate, give us a look at your dick, would you? Like, it's like someone's like bullying
what's
and stuff.
Wrong with
it's,
the world?
It's no good.
Give us a look at your dick, would you?
Yeah.
Is that a common phrase?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. If you because the more you hide it, the more people want to see it.
Yeah.
Why do you want to see someone else's dick, Dane?
Why not?
I don't, and I'm a woman.
Yeah, well, that's the point. Yeah, we're playing a footy side. If you can't see each other, how are you going to win a premiership together?
Okay.
How are you going to fucking?
Hey, all right, part of the bonding process.
Ralph, show us your dick, would you? And he goes, "Here's my dick." And you go, "Huh? All right. Do you feel better now? You're going to run out,
trust.
And fucking run through a wall for that guy
it's
now."
Yes, the trust. There right. You go. Okay, I'm willing to do that for you.
But the thing is, you wouldn't immediately stand at your head and do a fruit bat. You got to work.
Start with a wristwatch.
Skin rabbit. Yeah.
You know, work your way up to the hamburger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wow.
Did you expect to be coming on and talking about such content?
Well, this is his book, so you think so.
Well, I mean, you know, I did 3AW the other day and we didn't go down quite as far. But with you guys, yeah, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
We have to clear the room. So it's the Bonobo Gene, and we'll put all the links on our socials, by Steve Marshall, a.k.a. Sergio Paradise. Yeah. And a pleasure to get through something without being cancelled with you.
Oh, exactly. I mean, there's still time. Although I should point out, at the end of the book, an email address straight to me for hopefully volume two. No, forget the pics. I'm not interested in the pics. Everybody has got a story or two of dumb behaviour, whether it's male, female, anything, you know. So I want people to send them to me, their stories. And
the last 60 seconds I was trying to get
Bonobo too.
Do we get any royalties for any story that goes in? Or
No. You send them straight to me and hopefully I'll rewrite them and hopefully make them sound reasonably amusing.
It was
and
the fruit bat I was thinking of. Sorry, I forgot one.
And we'll do that. And also, as you pointed out before, Swanee, if we got a Hall of Shame of footballers, this book looks a bit slim. I'm thinking of a full encyclopedia, you know, about 28 volumes.
It'd be long.
Yeah, it would.
You might have to do it properly. If you do it properly, you've got to publish it posthumously because
there's plenty of names that cannot be named.
Yeah, absolutely. Good work. Steve Marshall, the Bonobo Gene.
Thanks very much.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.